Welcome again to another broadcast of Restoring Your Life. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for an opportunity to come before you to glean from your holy word, the Bible, that's going to help set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the thing I want to start out with is a comment, because in ministry, a lot of the people that come to me and say, I just want to be free. Okay, I just want to be free. And so I was thinking about it because, people ask me, okay, so what is it that you do? And I thought, well, people want to be free, and what is it that I do? And I was trying to put it into a sentence, and I have tried for 20 years to put what I do in one sentence to make it clear. You know, you've got ministries that say healing broken hearts. Okay, there's a whole lot in that, but that's what they deal with. Others say spiritual roots and diseases. Okay, they say that. Well, see, the funny part is that those different things are a part of this ministry. I help people with their broken hearts because it has to do with relationships. I help people with their spiritual roots because then they can identify what's causing their diseases. So that's happening. And then how about abandonment and rejection? That's a whole nother gambit. You know, most of the people that call me, they say, I feel abandoned. I've been abandoned all my life. I feel rejection. And so that's another piece. So I don't just target that, but that's what I talk about. And so as I went through and looked at all the books I've written 30 books, and each one of them has a various topic. For example, trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay, how do you deal with that? What is that all about? How do you get well? And every book that I've written is a how-to according to the scriptures. It's about the power in the Holy Spirit to be able to overcome these issues. So you've got traumas, you've got post-traumatic stress disorder, you've got guilt and condemnation, you've got manipulation and control. And all of this stuff has to do with relationships. So I thought, it's about relationships. And absolutely it is. But if I was to tell you, when you ask me, okay, what are your conferences about? And I tell you it's about relationships, you're just going to go, no big deal, and walk away. You won't even be interested in coming because you have no idea what that entails. And so I was asking my husband today, and it's been 20 plus years that I've been in ministry. And I do have a mission statement, and I do have a vision statement on my website, but it's a paragraph. But how do I do it in one sentence? How do I do what I do? What do I tell people? I was at a meeting the other night at my pastor's house, and they just met me for the first time. I just showed up for the first time for the group. And of course, you go around and they ask you, what do you do? And I thought, I was a loaded question. What do I tell people that I do? So I came up with this thing, and I wrote it on my Facebook page. And basically it says, people who want to be free, it's what they're really asking me is, and they don't know it, is what is the sin that's keeping me bound? Because sin is what keeps us from being free. Many people who get free, they've either recognized, I'm full of unforgiveness, they get free. I'm full of shame and guilt, they get free. See, what we're getting free from, we're not getting free from anything but the law of sin and death. Because at the end of the day, you are in a death mode when you bow down and submit to sin. Okay, so as Christians, though, what is our mantra? Our mantra is that we are saved by grace through faith. And what are we saved from? Our sins. So let's get on the other side of things, because see, this is what happens. See, we start thinking about how awful we are and how horrible we are, and what a, you know, why are we on this planet? Does God really love me? Is there a plan for my life? We have all those questions, and those are the kinds of people that come to my ministry because they have no idea who they are. They don't know what they're doing, where they're going, how to be thankful, how to get rid of the pain in their heart. It's all to do with the sin. Now here's the good news that we don't catch. The good news is that sin has been beaten by Jesus when he rose from the grave and washed away our sins. So now we're on the other side of the cross. Before, we're on this side going towards the cross, men having to work and having to keep the laws to be righteous. Now we're on the other side of the cross, and all we need to do is receive what Jesus did on the cross for our righteousness. See, we're trying to still live under the law when we're really under grace. Now, this might be a simplistic message, but it's something we need to be reminded of, because let me tell you why I'm talking about this. I'm going to be doing a conference in September called She Who Laughs Lasts. In other words, a person with a merry heart is going to live longer. A person with joy is going to live longer and healthier. So, this is the question I have to ask you. If you are not in fullness of joy, no matter what is going on, no matter if the tire goes flat on the car, or a job, gets furloughed, or whatever it is, if you can't have joy in every situation, then there's a lack of relationship with receiving grace from God. You've got out from underneath that covering of sin, the covering of shame, the covering of rejection and all that, because everything that we experience has to do with people. Yeah, the car might not be a person, but who do we get mad at? When the tire goes flat, we get mad at the person who was supposed to maintain the tire in the first place. Maybe it's our husband. Maybe we're mad at God going, wait a minute, I just came from church and I get a flat tire? And we get mad at God. So there's some relationship going on that's causing us to feel upset, angry, and sad. We are to stay glad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It doesn't say I have to muster up a bunch of joy for myself. Because the Bible's very clear. It's God's joy in you. So if I've received Christ, I get it a whole package deal. I get grace, mercy, compassion, faith, goodness, patience, temperance, long-suffering, all that wonderful, cool stuff that's inside me. Now, here's the problem. You've got all that other stuff inside you, too, and they're bumping heads constantly. You know, Paul said it this way. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do it. I want to do it, but I can't. I have a heart, so we're struggling within ourselves. When you become a Christian, now you've got a new man in you. Before you were a believer, before you had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that illuminates you, before you had that Holy Spirit, it was just you. You lived by your conscience, you lived by your wits, you lived by what you knew, what you didn't know, what you grew up with. You lived by self-help books, okay? What the internet says, what the pharmacist told you, what the doctor says. Okay, that's how we lived. You can find peace there if you do those things. Again, we're under some kind of law, aren't we? In a degree, we're under a law. But when you become a Christian, now you've received that new package deal, which is righteousness and holiness and temperance and goodness and long-suffering and faith and all that good stuff. It's bumping against that old stuff. So now you've got two men in you. It's really the truth. Remember that old saying where you got the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other? Well, that's how it is when you become a Christian. Because now the enemy is trying to captivate you back. He's trying to back you into that corner again to make you believe that what you're believing is not true. And then on this other side, the Holy Spirit's wooing you to have faith in God. And I like to put it this way. Who's your daddy? The Bible is very clear that whoever you submit yourself to or yield your members to, that's who you serve. Let me read this. I think it's a really good passage. It's in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." You know, when the enemy draws you, he's drawing you to physically do something. He's causing you to, exercise your faith in him. And that's the truth. Because what we do is let's say we get drawn away by a lust. Okay, we get drawn away by something. We see something. Oh, I really want to spend, you know, $100,000 on that car over there. I really want that car. It's $100,000. I really want it. And he's wooing you, and he's keep taking your eyes off the truth of God has a better plan. He's got a better deal. It's not going to cost that much. But oh no! But our lust goes after this particular thing. That's the enemy drawing you away. See, now you have both working, and it's up to you to choose who you're going to listen to. That's why it's important to read your word, because you're going to hear the voice of God. You're going to hear his voice. The more you read the Bible and you start walking along, the more you're going to hear the Bible speak to you. You're going to hear the Lord speak to you. You know, he's going to wake you up in the night and say a few things. Matter of fact, he always gets me in the morning, because that's when I'm kind of groggy. I haven't quite got into my own thinking for the day yet. And that's when he speaks to me, because that's when I'm listening, because I'm not thinking about myself at the moment. I'm not thinking about what I can get and how things are going to work out for me that day, or how I'm feeling and all that stuff. He's actually being able to talk to me. But I have read so much of the word, though, in the last, I've been a Christian for almost 42 years, that I have 42 years worth of word in me. Now, I can't say that I remembered everything I've read, but the Holy Spirit has. So as I'm, you know, going through life and something comes up, I hear a scripture that says, fear not, for I am with you. Oh, yeah, okay, fear not, for I am with you. See, it comes in when you need it. And that's the Lord speaking to you. But it says right here, let not sin reign. That means rule. If you have an addiction, is that a blessing? is it a sinful thing? The actual wine is not sin, but the habitually needing it and it controlling you, and you can't go anywhere without a glass of wine, that's causing yourself to be ruled by it. If you have a problem with television and you can't get away from TV, you have to have it on all the time, it's just your comfort. Well, we're comforting ourselves in the world and not comforting in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because I do watch television as well. But again, do we need that to be okay? That's what I'm getting at. Do we need what we're after to be okay? That's telling you that you are letting it rule you. Cigarette smoking, I'm hitting pay dirt now. Do I need that? I need it to get through the day. Do I need that cup of coffee in the morning? All right. Anything that you need apart from God, you're allowing it to rule you. So we need to ask ourselves, Lord, what is ruling me today? What is ruling me today? Now, I have to tell you that in my times past, I had like 55 things that ruled me. Now I'm down to about maybe 4 or 5. I'm getting better and better, but I am making a choice. And I want to tell you something. It might be a hard choice to say no, but it's going to be the best choice in the long run. There are times where some friends go someplace and I just know I'm not supposed to go there. So they're going to go off and have some fun, and I'm sitting at home and I'm studying, or I'm working on a book, or I'm ministering to somebody. I want to tell you something. That's more joyful to me than going to an amusement park. I'm not saying that I don't go, because I do. I like Disneyland, okay? And different things like that, water parks and gardens and things. So I do enjoy that. But it's not a habit, and it's not something I need to be okay. If I never go to Disneyland again, I'm going to be okay. Can you be okay? Yeah. So what is it saying here? Is that whatever it is, let not sin. We're not just talking. Okay, here's the thing. A lot of people don't like that word sin. Okay, let's just take that word sin and change it so that you like it better. Let not alcohol abuse reign in your mortal body. Let not chocolate rule in your mortal body. It's not talking about your spirit. It's talking about your flesh. What are you doing to bless your flesh that you think you really need? Now, I'm harping in on it here, because we got to recognize in our own heart what is distracting us and pulling us away from the living truth. Okay, and it says that you should not obey it. But we are. It says that you're obeying it and the lusts in it. Wow. And lusts are evil desires. So the Bible talks about whoever lusts after a woman has already committed adultery in her heart, in his heart. So what's going on in our heart is lust. Okay, we're not, you know, that thing over there isn't going to make me lust. But what's in my heart, in my spirit, is going to cause me to lust. So I have to identify that. Now, here's the answer to that. We have to recognize what is our addiction or what's drawing us away. Because in that's when you recognize what that lust is and where it's coming from. See, that's how you're going to identify and go, oh, I have a need to be loved. That's why I want that. Or, oh, I reject myself. So I need to drink that to feel better. You see where we're going? We're going to what is the lust after it. And it says, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So how do you yield yourself to unrighteousness, to sin? Let's say maybe you're a kleptomania, whatever that's called, who steals things. And you don't want to yield yourself, your physical, to take things. You see, you're physically becoming an instrument to unrighteousness. Is stealing unrighteous? Yes. Is coveting your neighbor's stuff a sin and is unrighteousness? Yes. See, we can turn that word sin to unrighteousness, okay? Let not unrighteousness reign in your mortal body. But it's saying sin to help identify what that unrighteousness is. Now, I'm getting pretty deep here, but this is so important, and I hope it's clear to you as I go on. So you do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. How about the tongue? Do you think that this tongue can become unrighteous? What will it do to become unrighteousness, to actually act unrighteous? It's when it gossips, it slanders, it speaks evil communication, it speaks negativity. Now we're really getting to it, aren't we? That is unrighteousness. And you're yielding your member, your instrument is your mouth. You know, it's funny how they call musical instruments, because they're tools. Our mouth is an instrument. Why? Because it can speak and sing and talk. It's like an instrument. You know, people think, okay, my vocal cords are my instrument. So your vocal cords are your instrument. And as you speak, are you speaking in righteousness or unrighteousness? Only you know. You can know by what you hear coming out of your mouth. Have you ever done something and said, what did I just say? That's not me. And it's true. It's not you. You are made righteousness in Christ Jesus. But what is coming out of your mouth comes from that other place that you're battling with. Right? Remember I told you earlier, we have the old man before the cross, we got the new man after the cross, and they're bumping heads. So when we speak unrighteousness, it's coming out of that old man. That's why Jesus came, because he knew we would have a problem with this area. And he says, okay, so when you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, that's going to cover you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You just got to repent. You just got to tell him what you did. Okay, so I gossiped. Father, forgive me. Clean my mouth. You know, the Bible says that the tongue is full of deadly poison. So that's true. And, you know, I like this other scripture. I think it's in Matthew. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, my husband would say this. He says, anytime anybody opens their mouth, it's all about manipulation. He knows a few people that hang around and, you know, want to get their way. And some people even use the scriptures to get their way. Oh, you know, I heard that if you, you know, you're a Christian, you're supposed to give me whatever I want because that's what the Bible says. You know, sometimes other people know the scripture a whole lot more than we do and uses it against us. But they also have to read that other part where it says, don't throw your pearls to the swine. All right. So we've got some balance in here. And the Lord protects you, by the way, because of truth. So it says, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield, give yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. So again, who are you going to serve? I like the scripture in Deuteronomy. It says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. See, we have death reigning in us and we have life reigning in us. And it's up to us to choose. Are we going to follow the life path or are we going to follow the death path? You know, anytime there's a penalty to sin, by the way. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Okay. So if, let me ask you this. If you are experiencing a disease and it is, you know, it's been predicted that you only have 7 months to live or something. Is that a blessing? I don't believe God wants us to die prematurely, and I don't think he wants us to die of a disease. You know, most of the people who died that were Christians in the Old Testament didn't die of a disease. I don't know of anyone. I don't know if one of them died of a disease. They might have had some tribulations. Paul had a thorn. We don't know what that is. Some had eye issues. But they didn't die from it like we are seeing today. There's a problem here. And see, what they taught back in that time was about Jesus Christ. And when they got, you know, when he rose from the dead and they went on this big teaching with all the disciples about the revelation of Jesus Christ and how he came and washed away your sin and by his stripes you were healed. That's why they didn't get sick and die from anything, because they died out of persecution or being, you know, killed and things like that for their faith. Tell you the truth, that's how I want to go out. I don't want to go out by some disease. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go out proclaiming the Lord. So we're going to go back to here. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God. How do you yield yourself to God? By believing what he has said. By believing you are saved by grace through faith. And faith is believing, isn't it? It's not doing a bunch of stuff. It's not going out and starting a ministry or saving 25 people or knocking on doors to get some kudos. There is no work that can get you saved. The only thing we do is say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave the third day, and now sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And when I accept him for what he has done on the cross, now he is my Lord and Savior. And now I have access to the Lord my God personally. I don't have to go through a priest. I don't have to go through another person. I can go straight to the throne myself. Isn't that a great deal? You can be laying in bed. You don't have to wait to go to confession the next day or talk to an intercessory or somebody like that. You can go straight to God from your bed. You need him in the middle of the night, he'll be there. That happened to me the other night. I remembered I woke up and I don't know why, but my heart was racing. I mean, it was racing and it raced for a while and I'm okay and I'm just trying to do something to be okay. But I go, wait a minute, let me ask God. God, would you settle my heart? You know, laying in the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning, God met me. He settled my heart and put me right back to sleep. You see, he's right there in present time. Whenever you ask, he will be there. You know, I do a lot of teaching. I do a lot of ministry and I talk a lot about health and healing, but I still have things I go through. And in every single situation, I have to depend and fully, completely receive what God has for me. I have to fully believe and receive the truth that makes me free, you know, and the same thing for you. So I have to identify something like, I love the scripture that says, meditate upon your bed with your own heart. So every night, what do? We go to bed. Hey, what a reminder to lay there and ask God if there's anything in my heart that needs to be repented of. We need to live a repentant life. A lot of people say, well, I got saved and I repented then. I don't have to do it again. Really? Then why does Jesus keep teaching to repent? And he's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to the believer. Because there's a lot of unbelieving believers out there. And that is one that you need to repent of. Lord, I don't believe you. I have a hard time believing you. I have a hard time receiving your love. I have a hard time loving my neighbor. These are things that Christians, we need to speak on. You know why? Because again, that other old man is still in there. This is your flesh speaking. Your flesh is trying to pull you away. And it's part of your soul, because your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. Life happens and your soul responds. Your flesh is your house. Okay? So whatever your soul does, whether you're going to go towards what the flesh wants or towards what God wants, it's really a soul issue. The soul is the real you. All right? So who are you going to listen to? Are you going to follow after righteousness, which is faith and hope? And even in the midst of horrendous experiences, and like the other night, I woke up and I didn't know why. I thought, is this it, Lord? Am I coming home? And I said, first thing I want to do, Lord, is fear not. That's the first thing I always say when something weird happens. Immediately, I don't go anywhere and do anything until I say, I will not fear. And then I can go forward and do what God wants me to do. But if I don't do that at first, fear will get in there and start to distort what God wants me to say and do in that situation. So when I say, I will not fear, and immediately after that, I start to be happy. Remember, when I started off with this session, I was talking about joy. I had joy in the midst of that situation the other night, because I believe God loves me. I believe in His mercy. I believe in His grace. I believe that I'm His kid. I believe that no matter, nothing's going to happen to me that He doesn't allow to happen to me for good. For good. Romans 5:11, it says, and be not only so, but we also joy in God through Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement, or reconciliation to the Father. Your joy can only come really strongly and be for real is if we believe in Jesus Christ, so that we can have access to the Father today. Are you going to choose to know that the Lord loves you and He is able to equip you with going through everything with joy? All you do is have to ask Him, Father, I want your joy. It is your joy that gives me strength to endure anything. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, that every person listening, if they want joy, that they would understand who they are in you, receive your love, and through Jesus Christ, knowing that He is our Savior, to draw us to you, to believe what you have said, to know that you've never left us nor forsaken us, that we can receive this kind of information, of this kind of truth that's going to produce joy. Because it's that joy that gives us strength to endure everything. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.